Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 6th of January. I'm your host, Paul White. I'm in 1 Corinthians 15 as I'm journeying through Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. We're in the 20th verse today. It connects back, though, to 18. So let's start there, and you can listen for some similar language between 18 and 20. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men the most pitiable or the most miserable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So the connector is the word in verse 18, those who've fallen asleep, we know that's those who've died. And then in verse 20, Christ is risen from the dead and has become first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That's those who have died. So Paul's talking about the same thing. Connect it back to the cross, that if the cross takes away your sin, the resurrection is necessary so that the cross is just and justified. That keeps us from having people having only died with no hope for the future, because the resurrection is their hope for the future. Therefore, the resurrection is more than just Jesus coming out of the tomb. The resurrection is Christ as first fruits of those who've fallen asleep or those who have died. Paul has now rounded out theologically why he believes the resurrection is important. It validates the fact that Jesus was qualified to die for your sins, and it positions Jesus as the first fruits of all future resurrections. I talked a little bit yesterday or the day before, I don't know, they all start running together, about Paul and his insistence on the resurrection and making it an established thing. I don't want to indicate that he's alone, because the other writers most certainly believed in resurrection. It took them a while to really round out their theology on it, because I like, you know, you go back and watch, read like Peter's sermon at Pentecost, and theologically it's a bit of a hodgepodge sermon. The Holy Spirit does the work. His sermon in Cornelius' house in Acts 10, it takes him a while to get to the spot that matters. He starts talking about remission of sins. But the resurrection does become an important part of his theology. Like, look at 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at that. You and I have a living hope because Jesus resurrected. What in the world? Why does his resurrection give me a living hope? Because I believe Peter and Paul, the early church, had a doctrine in which the resurrection of Jesus is the resurrection of the new man. His resurrection is the first example, the first fruits of resurrection, in which that resurrection becomes your resurrection. Peter says, he begot us again. He birthed us again. Begot us again means we've been born again. We've had a second birth. We have experienced life anew, just like a resurrection. We died in Christ at the cross. We raised with Christ in a newness of life. He has begotten us again to a living hope through resurrection. His resurrection brought us to life so that we live our lives in a constant state of hope, not looking forward only to what comes, but living in a constant state of hope because of who he is in us. That's using Peter's idea of resurrection and putting it a little bit with Paul's idea of resurrection. Moving on, 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. So through the family of man, we understand death. Through the family of the man of Christ Jesus, we understand the resurrection of the dead. The word came in the 21st verse in a lot of our translations, italicized because it's not there in the Greek, so it's a little more like, for since by man death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. This text is the source of an enormous debate in Christian circles and has been, this is not some sort of new debate. It's been a debate for a long time as to what Paul means when he says, in Adam all die, even in Christ all shall be made alive, because in Adam everyone dies. So if you're going to contrast that with in Christ all shall be made alive, shouldn't all mean all? And I believe all should mean all. So everyone's going to die in Adam. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Let's keep reading. Each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. And there, afterward those Christ's at his coming, who are, is an addition to try and explain what that text means. And then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. So the debate is, if everyone dies in Adam, will all be made alive in Christ? Paul's indication is yes, but what we can, what we should acknowledge, and this is the other side of the argument, it's not fair to give one side and not the other, what we should acknowledge is that Paul, that phrase, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming, the argument is that not all are Christ's, or the argument is also that Paul is simply making a contrast that death comes by Adam and thus life comes by Christ. I'm not going to claim that sitting here on a podcast, we're going to solve which one Paul means, and I think each of us bring our thoughts to the table on this. I personally believe that this is where I am on this. I personally believe that Paul's argument about resurrection has less to do with physicality and more to do with spirituality. I think it has less to do with a future resurrection and more to do with a past one. I think Paul's trying to get his audience to realize that they ought to be living a resurrected life. And based on what he's wrote to them for 14 and a half chapters, they're not looking much like it. And that they ought to start, because living the resurrected life is their privilege. They're living as if they're in Adam, but they are in Christ. How far beyond the scope of his letter to the Corinthians that goes, that's debatable. I don't know, but I know that when you're writing to a group of believers, what he's writing to a group of believers, you're trying to get them to understand that their life is in Christ, not in Adam. And they've been acting like their life is in Adam rather than in Christ. Is it fair to say that Paul's trying to establish a theology by which all people in the world are in Christ? I'm not sure that's fair. He's not writing to the whole world. And so keep those things in mind before you fall hard on one side or the other. We'll continue this road tomorrow. See you then. God bless.